Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Time for stuff.
Simon Tierney joins us once again. Good afternoon, Simon.
Afternoon, Sean.
First shock of the day. The photocopier is much older than one would imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when we talk about photocopier, we tend to think of the modern photostatic photocopier. You know, we say the things that come out of it are photocopies, but people who lived in a time where this machine was actually introduced, which was in the late 50s, early 60s, often used different language. For example, my father, he would call a photocopied sheet, he would call it a photostat, which is technically the correct word for it, because it's the product of that technology. But the machinery that we have used to make copies have existed in many different forms and go right back to the 17th century. Now, I could have talked about a million different objects, but I've chosen a few kind of landmark machines over the centuries, Sean. The first one is the pantograph. Now, the pantograph was invented in Germany in 1603, and this operates on a very simple principle of the parallelogram. Now, I had to sort of look this up a bit because I'd forgotten my my mathematics in this area. But a parallelogram is basically a rectangle, but it has two parallel sides.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is a wooden frame in the shape of a parallelogram, and each section is on a pivot, which means that the parallelogram can move. And on the bottom left is a stylus called a tracing stylus, and this is a piece of lead. And on the other side is what's called the drawing stylus, and this is another piece of lead. So when you move the tracing stylus, the drawing stylus moves at the same time, but it moves it, it can make it either bigger or smaller. So this would be used by draftsmen or architects of the 17th and 18th centuries. And if they wanted to enlarge or reduce a drawing that they were making, say, of a house or something like that, or even simpler object like a circle, they could recreate that at the same time using this pantograph, this parallelogram system.
Isn't that amazing? How and I think I have kind of a vague memory there was a child's toy that was similar to that.
I think there was.
There was, it escapes me now right now what that is. How ingenious.
Now, this was...
Now, obviously, though, a very specialised kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As I say, this was for draftsmen in particular. But the idea behind it was elaborated upon in the very early 19th century by an English man called John Isaac Hawkins, and he developed the polygraph.
Now, I know people will be ringing up saying, "Isn't that a lie detector?"
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, if when you look at a polygraph, like in movies about the CIA or whatever, the stylus that's moving, perhaps there is something similar to this type of polygraph.
Okay. Yeah,
but the original polygraph is a 19th century invention. And as I say, it was a development on the pantograph in the sense that, again, it uses this parallelogram technology. And Thomas Jefferson became a famous user of it. Thomas Jefferson was, of course, one of the founding fathers, third president of the United States, but he wrote 20,000 personal letters during his lifetime. And he wanted to keep a track of his correspondence. Always good to have a record. And so he used his polygraph, which you can still see in Monticello, his famous estate, to this day. And what happens is that instead of a piece of lead being attached to the pivot on the parallelogram, this time there's an actual pen on the left-hand side of the parallelogram, and another corresponding pen on the opposite side of the parallelogram. And he would use that pen just like any other pen. He was writing his letter, it corresponded to the pen on the other side. And as a result, he was able to make a duplicate of his letter. Now, that sounds great in theory.
Yeah,
but when I heard that, I wonder, is that really awkward and cumbersome to use? But we know that he used this many, many, many years in his later life. And he described it, quote unquote, as the finest invention of the present age.
Okay, hold your modesty aside. And the okay, well, what was then the electric pen and duplicating press, was that the same thing? Just a fancier title for the same thing?
Yeah, no, it was a little bit different. So Thomas Edison, great late 19th century inventor, patented so many different things. One of his contributions was in this area of writing. And he developed what he called, as you say, the electric pen and duplicating press in 1876. And this was essentially a way of making stencils so that you could use the stencil to force ink through it and therefore make duplicates. But he sold his patent rights to the A.B. Dick Company, which made a huge amount of money out of this product. There were hundreds of thousands of these sold. They were more commonly known, Sean, as mimeographs.
Yeah. And that technology, you know, was used into the 20th century.
Absolutely, yeah. Right up until the late 1950s, when the modern photocopier was developed. But the mimeograph worked on a very simple premise, and let me explain it as simply as I can, because it's a brilliantly useful piece of technology and doesn't even need a motor. So what happened was you took a hard-backed piece of waxy paper, special paper for the mimeograph, and you put it in an ordinary typewriter, except you don't use the ink ribbon when you're using the typewriter in this instance. And you use the keys on the typewriter to literally punch stenciled holes into this piece of waxy paper. So what you end up with is a sheet of paper with text on it, but instead of the text being represented by ink, they are represented by stenciled holes. Okay. Then you take a piece of cloth, which is impregnated with a special purple ink, and you wrap that around a cylindrical drum, which is inside a wooden cabinet. Then you wrap the stenciled paper around the cloth, which is impregnated with the ink, and then you literally hand crank the roller around and around, and underneath it, you are feeding individual sheets of paper. And every time it does a turn, you are creating a new duplicate as the drum forces the ink through its centrifugal force out of its impregnated cloth, through the stencil and onto the paper.
Yeah.
And I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a kind of a sort of a printing press type arrangement,
exactly.
Essentially,
yeah.
Really. But people would have no doubt seen that in a film. People are
absolutely
always,
they're beautiful objects.
Out. So then what we today would call a photocopier, that really didn't come in until the 20th century, would that be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is what we call xerography. So the photocopier that we have out here on the floor in the offices of all the listeners, these modern photocopiers, they all operate on the principle of xerography. This comes from the Greek xero, meaning dry. Xeros, dry, and graphos, meaning writing. So it's dry writing. And it has that name for a reason, because all printing before xerography was wet printing. So when you took your piece of paper out of the mimeograph, for example, you needed to leave it for a couple of minutes to dry.
Yeah.
And users had these purpley stained fingers after use. So the man who's responsible for this, Sean, is an American called Chester Carlson, and he invented this xerography. Eventually, it would become famous with the name Xerox, the famous American photocopying company. So what he did was, what he realized is that he wanted to create this dry ink process, and he wanted to be able to create a machine which did it much faster than the wet presses before him. So it operates on photostasis, photostatic electricity, as I mentioned at the beginning. So the best way I can describe it, because it's quite complicated, is, you know, if you get a balloon and you rub that balloon on a woolly jumper, the balloon sticks to your jumper.
Yeah.
That's because there is static electricity now in the balloon. And he uses this physical process in order to create an attraction between ink and paper. So inside a photocopier, a modern photocopier, you have a drum, a black drum, which is charged with static electricity. Then you put a piece of paper on a glass surface and you cast a very, very bright light across that paper. That image, whatever happens to be on that paper that you're copying, is reflected onto the drum. However, the drum only attracts the black parts of the page that you're photocopying. So that's the black text. All the white parts, it doesn't attract.
Yeah.
Then the paper that it's going to be copied onto, the new piece of paper, is also charged with static electricity, and that attracts the black ink onto the paper. Now, the key point is that the black ink in a photocopier, it's dry and it's called toner. It's a kind of a powdered ink.
Mm.
And that's heat sensitive. This is a very special type of ink. It's heat sensitive. And when the drum in the photocopier, when it is charged with this photo, with this static electricity, that heat attracts the toner to it. And that's why we're able to make a duplicate.
Okay. And essentially, has that technology not really changed?
No, absolutely not. Now, as I said, Chester Carlson, he first came up with this idea of xerography in 1938. He took 20 years to refine it. And in 1959, he launched the Xerox 914 photocopier. This was the first ever modern photocopier. It was the size of two large washing machines. It weighed 293 kilograms, which I worked out earlier at my desk is over a quarter of the weight of a Mini Cooper. And when it was first brought into offices, doors would have to be unhinged in order to get it in. And this is actually brilliantly represented. I went back last night to an episode of Mad Men, and listeners might recall the Xerox 914 arriving in a particular episode when suddenly copy clerks, as they were known, these scribes, were suddenly out of work because this enormous machine had come in to do its job for them.
That's extraordinary. And it is interesting, though, that at the time, there was a period where people would use the word Xerox to mean photocopy, but not so much anymore.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
In the States, they still do.
Do they?
Yeah. Still say, oh, just Xerox that for me, will you?
Yeah.
Or they use it the way we might use Hoover as a generic term for vacuum cleaner. But in Ireland and England, I think perhaps less so.
Yeah. It's fascinating as ever. Simon, thanks a million for coming into us. Simon Tierney there on the history of the photocopier. We're going to take a break. After that, collecting coins.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.